The Future of Consciousness by Charles Henry Thomas. Copyright 2026. Charles Henry Thomas. All rights reserved. Unauthorized copying, distribution, or transmission of this recording is prohibited. Permission must be obtained from the author for any use beyond brief quotations in reviews or scholarly work. As the music settles, we turn our attention to a question that has followed humanity from its earliest days to this very moment: what consciousness is and what it may yet become. This is The Future of Consciousness, written by Charles Henry Thomas. 1. Lessons from Classrooms, Villages, and a Changing World. Consciousness doesn't emerge in a vacuum. It grows or fails to grow inside the environments we inhabit, the teachers who guide us, and the boundaries we never think to cross. I learned this not from textbooks or philosophy, but from two encounters separated by decades and an ocean. The first happened here in the United States, not long after I arrived. I was sitting in a dentist's chair, chatting with a young hygienist who caught my accent and asked where I was from. "The UK," I said. She smiled politely, then asked, "Where's that?" Thinking perhaps the term wasn't familiar, I tried again. "England, Great Britain." She looked genuinely puzzled. "Where's that?" she repeated. It wasn't ignorance. It wasn't stupidity. It was a consciousness shaped inside a world that had never required her to look beyond her own borders, a mind unexpanded, not by choice, but by circumstance. Years earlier in South Wales, I met the opposite version of the same phenomenon. I was working as an agent for an American industrial chemical company, and one afternoon I stopped at a small pub in the mountains for lunch. An elderly man approached me at the bar and asked where I was from. When I told him I lived in Barry, near Cardiff, he surprised me by saying, "Oh, what's Cardiff like? I've never been there." Cardiff, the capital city of Wales, was only a short distance away, yet this man, a coal miner all his life, had never stepped outside his village, not once. He wasn't impaired, he wasn't strange, he was simply a product of a life lived within tight physical and cultural boundaries. His world was small, because it had never needed to be large. Two people, two countries, two entirely different lives. Yet the same truth: consciousness expands only when something invites it to expand, and that something is often a teacher. Whether in a classroom, a home, a workplace, or a chance encounter, teachers are the architects of the mind's horizon. They are the ones who open the windows, widen the map, and show a child that the world is larger than the village, larger than the neighborhood, larger than the assumptions they were born into. Some systems empower teachers to do this. Others bury them under chaos, bureaucracy, or survival-level classroom management. I've seen both. My daughter, Megan, experienced it firsthand, escaping the turbulence of public school to thrive in a private one, where she became Teacher of the Year in her Missouri district. Same teacher, same talent, different environment, different outcomes. If we want to understand the future of consciousness, we must begin with the places where consciousness is shaped. 2. What consciousness really is. Consciousness is often spoken about as if it were some mystical force, a shimmering fog inside the skull, a spark of divinity, or a philosophical puzzle too complex to touch. But in reality, consciousness is far more practical. It is the sum of what a person can perceive, imagine, understand, and care about. It is the size of their inner world. A child born into a home filled with books, conversation, curiosity, and encouragement develops a consciousness with wide horizons. A child raised in an environment of fear, limitation, or neglect grows into an adult whose awareness is shaped by those same boundaries. Consciousness is not fixed. It expands or contracts depending on what life exposes us to. At its core, consciousness is built from five elements. 1. Knowledge, the facts, stories, and information we absorb from school, from family, from culture. 2. Experience, the places we go, the people we meet, the challenges we face, the risks we take. 3. Context, the ability to place new information within a larger map of meaning. 4. Curiosity, the internal drive that pushes us beyond what we already know. 5. Imagination, the capacity to picture realities beyond our immediate surroundings. When any of these elements are missing, consciousness narrows. When all of them are present, consciousness becomes expansive. This is why two people can live in the same country, speak the same language, and work in the same town, yet inhabit entirely different mental worlds. One sees life as a vast landscape of possibilities. The other sees only the familiar walls of their daily routine. And this is where teaching becomes central. Because teachers, whether in classrooms or in life, are the ones who introduce children to knowledge, experience, context, curiosity, and imagination. They are the ones who show a young mind that the world is larger than the street they grew up on. A society's future consciousness depends on the quality of its teaching, not just the curriculum, but the culture around learning, not just the facts, but the fire behind them. When teaching thrives, consciousness expands. When teaching fails, consciousness shrinks, and the consequences ripple far beyond the classroom. 3. How education shapes the mind's horizon. If consciousness is the size of a person's inner world, then education is the force that determines how far that world can stretch. A good education doesn't just teach facts, it teaches perspective. It gives a child the tools to understand where they stand in history, how they fit into society, and what possibilities lie beyond the familiar boundaries of home. This is why two children can grow up in the same country, yet emerge with entirely different mental landscapes. One may leave school with a sense of curiosity, confidence, and global awareness. Another may leave with only the narrow understanding of their immediate surroundings. The difference is rarely the child. It is almost always the environment and the teacher. Teachers are the first architects of consciousness. They are the ones who introduce children to worlds they have never seen, ideas they have never imagined, and questions they never thought to ask. A great teacher can ignite a spark that lasts a lifetime. A struggling system can extinguish it before it ever catches fire. I've seen this contrast up close. My daughter, Megan, is a gifted teacher, passionate, dedicated, and deeply committed to her students. Yet her early years in the public school system were spent managing chaos rather than nurturing minds. The environment was so turbulent that teaching became secondary to survival. She left that system not because she lacked ability, but because the system lacked support. In a private school, everything changed. The same teacher, the same talent, the same heart. But now she had the space to teach. She had the freedom to inspire. She had the environment that allowed her to do what she was meant to do, and the result was immediate. She became Teacher of the Year in her Missouri district. This is the lesson. When teachers thrive, consciousness expands. When teachers struggle, consciousness shrinks. A society that invests in its teachers invests in its future. A society that neglects them risks raising generations with narrow horizons. Education is not just about literacy or numeracy. It is about shaping the mental map a child will carry into adulthood. It is about giving them the ability to understand the world beyond their village, their neighborhood, or their country. It is about preparing them to navigate a future that will demand more awareness, more adaptability, and more imagination than any generation before them. The future of consciousness begins in the classroom. and the classroom begins with the teacher. 4. Technology and the shrinking of thought. No discussion about the future of consciousness can ignore the most powerful force shaping young minds today. Technology. For the first time in human history, children carry a device in their pocket that can answer almost any question instantly. On the surface, this looks like progress. In reality, it raises a deeper question. If a child never has to think, will they ever learn how? The issue isn't simply distraction, it's substitution. A child faced with a multiplication problem no longer reaches for memory, logic, or mental calculation. They reach for the phone, 12 times 5. Why think when a machine will think for you? The danger is subtle but profound. When technology replaces the process of thinking, it also replaces the development of thinking. Human consciousness grows through effort, through wrestling with problems, making mistakes, trying again, and building mental pathways that become the foundation of reasoning. When a child bypasses that process, those pathways never fully form. The result is a generation that can access information instantly but struggles to understand it deeply. Allowing phones in classrooms accelerates this problem. A child may appear engaged, but their mind is elsewhere, scrolling, tapping, reacting, consuming. The phone becomes a constant escape hatch from boredom, challenge, or uncertainty. Yet boredom, challenge, and uncertainty are precisely the conditions in which consciousness grows. A teacher can ignite curiosity, but a phone can extinguish it in seconds. This is not an argument against technology. Used wisely, it can expand consciousness, offering access to global knowledge, diverse cultures, and new ways of learning. But when used without boundaries, it becomes a crutch that weakens the very muscles of thought. The future of consciousness will depend on how we teach children to use technology, not as a replacement for thinking, but as a tool that supports it. A child who learns to think first and search second will grow into an adult with a strong, flexible, resilient mind. A child who searches first may never learn to think at all. The question is no longer whether technology belongs in the classroom. The question is whether consciousness can survive without the discipline of thinking. 5. The minds we will need in the future. The world our grandchildren will inherit will be more complex, more interconnected, and more unpredictable than anything we grew up with. The challenges ahead, technological, environmental, social, and ethical, will demand a level of consciousness far beyond what previous generations needed simply to get by. The future will not reward narrow thinking. It will reward minds that can stretch. To navigate the decades ahead, the next generation will need 1. Critical thinking. Not just the ability to recall information, but the ability to question it, analyze it, and understand its implications. In a world flooded with data, the real skill will be separating truth from noise. 2. Global awareness. The future will not be shaped by isolated nations or local concerns. It will be shaped by global systems, climate, economics, technology, migration. A child who grows up understanding only their own village will struggle to understand the world they must live in. 3. Emotional intelligence. Machines can calculate. Machines can store information. Machines can even simulate conversation. But empathy, intuition, and emotional understanding remain uniquely human strengths. These will become more valuable, not less, as technology advances. 4. Adaptability. The careers of the future may not even exist yet. The ability to learn, unlearn, and relearn will be essential. A rigid mind will break. A flexible mind will thrive. 5. Imagination. The problems ahead will not be solved by old thinking. They will require creativity, the ability to envision possibilities that do not yet exist. Imagination is not a luxury. It is a survival skill. 6. Resilience. The future will test us. Economies will shift. technologies will disrupt, social structures will evolve. A resilient mind, one that can endure uncertainty without collapsing, will be indispensable. These qualities do not appear by accident. They are cultivated. They are taught. They are shaped by the environments we create for children and the expectations we place upon them. A society that values curiosity, discipline, and imagination will produce adults capable of navigating the future. A society that values convenience, distraction, and instant gratification will not. This is why the future of consciousness matters. It is not an abstract concept. It is the foundation upon which the next century will be built. If we fail to cultivate strong, flexible, expansive minds, we risk creating a generation unprepared for the world they will inherit. The future will belong to those who can think deeply, clearly, and courageously. 6. The battle for the mind, propaganda, conditioning, and the erosion of thought. Critical thinking is not just a skill, it is a shield. And in the modern world, that shield is under constant attack. Propaganda, misinformation, and subtle forms of mental conditioning have become part of the daily environment, shaping opinions, emotions, and even identities without people realizing it. A mind that cannot question is a mind that can be controlled. In earlier generations, propaganda was blunt and obvious, posters, slogans, speeches. Today it is woven into entertainment, social media, advertising, and algorithm-driven content streams. It doesn't shout, it whispers, it nudges, it repeats, it rewards conformity and punishes doubt. And the younger the mind, the more vulnerable it is. This is where the decline of critical thinking becomes dangerous. When a child grows up relying on a device to answer every question, they never develop the internal tools needed to evaluate information. They accept the first answer they see. They trust the loudest voice. They follow the emotional pull rather than the logical thread. In that state, propaganda doesn't need to be clever. It only needs to be present. A child who cannot calculate 12 times 5 without reaching for a phone is not just losing mathematical ability, they are losing the habit of thinking. They are losing the confidence that comes from working something out for themselves. And once that confidence is gone, the mind becomes passive, waiting to be told, waiting to be guided, waiting to be shaped by external forces. Propaganda thrives in passive minds. This is why teaching matters more now than ever. A good teacher doesn't just deliver information, they teach children how to question it. They teach them how to recognize bias, how to spot manipulation, how to separate emotion from evidence. They teach them that truth is not always obvious and that easy answers are often the most dangerous. The future of consciousness will depend on our ability to raise a generation that can think independently in a world designed to think for them. If we fail, we risk creating a society where people know how to swipe, scroll, and react, but not how to reason. A civilization that cannot think clearly becomes easy to steer, easy to divide, and easy to deceive. A civilization that can think clearly becomes resilient, adaptable, and free. The battle for the future of consciousness will not be fought with weapons. It will be fought with attention, awareness, and the courage to question. 7. The warning. What happens when consciousness shrinks? Civilizations do not collapse because of a single event. They collapse because the minds within them slowly lose the ability to see clearly, think critically, and recognize danger before it arrives. When consciousness shrinks, societies become easier to manipulate, easier to divide, and easier to steer toward outcomes no one truly chose. We see the early signs everywhere. People react before they reflect. They share before they verify. They believe before they understand. A shrinking consciousness is not just a personal limitation. It becomes a collective vulnerability. When people cannot calculate simple numbers without a device, they become dependent. When people cannot question information, they become compliant. When people cannot imagine alternatives, they become trapped. When people cannot recognize manipulation, they become controlled. History shows that the most dangerous societies are not the ones with the strongest leaders, but the ones with the weakest thinkers. A population that cannot think for itself becomes fertile ground for propaganda, extremism, and emotional manipulation. It becomes a society where fear replaces reason, where slogans replace ideas, and where complexity is rejected in favor of comforting simplicity. This is why the future of consciousness matters so profoundly. It is not an academic concern, it is a civilizational one. If we allow the next generation to grow up with narrow horizons, passive minds, and an over-reliance on technology, we risk creating a world where people are easily swayed, easily misled, and easily divided. A world where the loudest voice wins, not the wisest. A world where truth becomes optional. But the opposite is also true. When consciousness expands, when children learn to think, question, imagine, and understand, societies become resilient. They become harder to manipulate, harder to fracture, and harder to deceive. They become capable of facing the future with clarity rather than confusion. The warning is simple. If we do not cultivate strong minds, we will inherit a weak civilization. 8. The hope. Building a conscious future. For all the challenges we face, shrinking attention spans, weakened critical thinking, technological dependence, and the subtle creep of propaganda, the future of consciousness is not a lost cause. Far from it. Human beings have an extraordinary capacity to grow, adapt, and awaken when given the right conditions. Consciousness is not fixed. It can be expanded at any age, in any environment, by anyone willing to open a window in their mind. The hope lies in the simple truth that consciousness responds to care. It responds to curiosity. It responds to challenge. It responds to teaching. A child who learns to think for themselves becomes an adult who cannot be easily manipulated. A child who learns to question becomes an adult who cannot be easily deceived. A child who learns to imagine becomes an adult who can build what does not yet exist. Teachers like Megan prove this every day. When given the space to teach, they ignite minds. They show children that the world is larger than their street, their school, or their phone screen. They remind them that thinking is not a chore, but a form of freedom, and that freedom becomes the foundation of a conscious life. Technology, too, can become a force for expansion rather than contraction if we teach children to use it wisely. A device can be a window or a wall. It can broaden a mind or shrink it. The difference lies in how we guide young people to engage with it. When technology becomes a tool rather than a crutch, it amplifies human potential instead of replacing it. The future of consciousness will not be shaped by governments or corporations alone. It will be shaped by parents, teachers, mentors, and ordinary people who choose to nurture awareness rather than surrender it. It will be shaped by the stories we tell, the questions we ask, and the courage we show in stepping beyond our own familiar boundaries. The Welsh miner lived his entire life inside one village. The hygienist lived inside a world where global awareness was optional. But the next generation does not have to inherit those limits. They can inherit something larger, a consciousness capable of understanding the world, questioning it, and improving it. The hope is simple and powerful. Consciousness expands when we choose to expand it. If we teach children to think, to question, to imagine, and to care, the future will belong to minds that are open, resilient, and awake. And a civilization built on such minds will not only survive the challenges ahead, it will rise to meet them with clarity and purpose. 9. Closing reflections. In the end, the future of consciousness will not be written by governments, institutions, or algorithms. It will be written by the quiet, steady work of people like Megan, teachers who open doors in young minds and show them that the world is larger, richer, and more mysterious than they ever imagined. It will be written by parents who encourage curiosity, by mentors who challenge assumptions, and by individuals who choose to keep learning long after school is over. Consciousness grows wherever someone cares enough to nurture it. And if we can pass that care forward, if we can teach the next generation not just what to think, but how to think, then the future will belong to minds that are awake, expansive, and free. That is the legacy we can leave. That is the hope we can build. Author's note: this article grew out of a lifetime of watching how people think, and how easily their thinking can be shaped by the worlds they grow up in. From a Welsh miner who never left his village, to a hygienist who had never heard of the United Kingdom, to the extraordinary teachers who expand young minds every day, these stories reveal a simple truth. Consciousness is not fixed. It grows when we nurture it, and it shrinks when we neglect it. The ideas here are not academic abstractions. They come from lived experience, from family, from classrooms, from conversations, and from the quiet moments when you realize how different two people's inner worlds can be. My hope is that this piece encourages readers to look more closely at how consciousness is formed and to play their part in expanding it for the next generation.